With me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Before we look at verses, before I read those verses, let me just mention a little bit of background. Ephesians chapter 4 starts with Paul making an appeal or begging the believers to walk or live their lives in a manner worthy of God's calling. That's in verse 1, right? And then he gave them, what does this living in a manner of God's calling look like? Now he said, well, you should be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then in the next three verses, three verses, Paul gave his reason why unity in the body of Christ is important. Why? Because there is one body, one Spirit, right? One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Verse 6. And then in verse 7, notice, Paul also draws the attention of his readers. But this same God, person of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually gives his people gifts. Look at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then let me read verses 11 through 13. It was also he, Christ, who gave some to be prophets, to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Word of the Lord for us this morning. How many of us are celebrating birthdays or wedding anniversaries today? My goodness, no one. Today? Oh, yesterday. Okay. That doesn't count. I said today. Okay. Okay.
Receiving Christ's gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11.
It's time from the New Living Translation. Now, these are the gifts of Christ. The gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Actually, the word translated as pastors in many of the Bibles. You know, that word can also be translated shepherds. Ah, poimen. Shepherds. How many of you remember the Lord Jesus Christ doing a miracle and he fed more than 5,000 people? It was told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amazing. One miracle story told by all four gospel writers. It must be very important. But Mark records, chapter 6, verse 34, that Jesus saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them. Why? They were like sheep without a shepherd. What happened to sheep without the shepherd? Well, they would not be able to find their way in the wilderness. Okay? So, the heat, the night, you know, the cold, they would die. They would not be able to find sources of food, drink. They would die. And all these wild animals, predators, you know, not only that they would not be able to find food, they would become food. They die. It's amazing. The Apostle Paul will use this word. You know, God gives, Christ gives his church with pastors, shepherds, and teachers. Paul's point is not to educate the church as far as verse 11, chapter 4 is concerned. Not really to educate the church about the different positions, titles of officers, leaders in the church. But to point out the truth that those who lead the church are called and given by the Lord Jesus himself. So the church's response to verse 11 is not to see to it that they appointed or ordained apostles, prophets, no matter how controversial that is, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but to embrace and live the truth that those who serve as leaders in the Lord's church are the Lord's gifts to his church according to the measure of his generosity. Is this how we see those called to serve as pastors in Christ's church? Do you believe that your pastor is the Lord's gift to you? It does matter what you believe, right? Because what you believe influences the way you behave. One thing I love reading from the form of ordination / installation of ministers, like the one I use today, is that short exhortation and encouragement. Short yet profound. Receive your minister as God's gift. Receive your minister as a gift of God. And since the pastor is God's gift to his church, then the congregation should love the pastor. And as the form urges the congregation to do, listen to him with all the respect due his office and encourage him when he needs strength and pray for him. How often? Once a year? Once a month? Once a week? Oh, Pastor, I know that. When I feel like praying for him, it says daily. And why would Christ's gifts of pastors need encouragement and prayer? Because they're not perfect. We are not perfect. we're just like any other member of the church. We get tired, we get discouraged, get tempted to disobey God. Listen to your pastor, encourage your pastor, pray for your pastor each day. They're not perfect. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. The giver of the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, is perfect. Whoever the Lord calls, He equips, He gives, He sustains, He protects, and He will be with those people till the end of the age. That's His promise. Now the lesson from today's text that I would like to highlight is this. Christ gives to His church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to serve, are to equip the saints. Cool reference to believers, huh? Saints. The believers in God's church for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ will be built up. Verse 12, right? Here in verse 12, Paul clearly states the purpose of Christ's gifts to the church. Again, from the New Living Translation, the responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I would prefer that, you know, the New Living Translation drops the word "and" and just use a simple comma after work or ministry. To equip God's people to do His work, to build the body of Christ, the church. So we have two lessons here from the Apostle Paul coming from verse 12. One, the Lord wants every member of His church to be equipped. I like how John MacArthur explains that word, equip. Basically, the word equip refers to that which is fit, restored to its original condition, or to be made complete. So, the Lord wants every member of His church to be equipped, to be fit, to be restored, and to be made complete. For what? For doing His work. For doing ministry as a church. And the Lord Jesus Himself gave and invested so much so that this purpose will be fulfilled. So first Christ gave Himself to His church so that His church will have forgiveness from all their sins and that they will be reconciled to God. Next, Christ gave spiritual gifts to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that every believer has at least one gift. And others, they have more than one. But whether you're given one or many, God wants you to use those gifts so that His church will be built up. And then, Ephesians 4, verse 12, Christ gave His church gifted servant leaders, pastors, evangelists, elders. For what immediate purpose? To equip the believers, every believer in the
church.
It is sad that many Christians still think that only theologically equipped or those who have received formal training on becoming evangelists, missionaries, pastors, ministers can do the work of ministry. A blunt way of putting it is that some churches think that they call pastors and pay them to do the work of ministry as they sit down and watch. Well, from time to time, they clap. And then every now and then, they say, "Yeah, very good, pastor. That's a nice sermon. Oh, great." Paul says, that's not how we should be. Because that's what he learned from the Lord Jesus. Every member is given a spiritual gift to use so that every member will contribute toward the building up of the one body of Christ. God wants every believer to use his or her spiritual gift or gifts to serve to the various ministry opportunities available in the church. God wants every believer to minister to fellow believers and even to those who have yet to believe. And let me encourage every member of Faith Presbyterian CRC to use your gift to serve God and to desire to learn more and more about the Lord from the ministry of your pastor and other servant leaders so that you'll be further equipped to serve the Lord in His church. I was sitting back there and seeing all this, man, younger folks, kids, leading and singing. That's the message, folks. These people, young as they are, they have seen the need to use whatever it is that God has entrusted to them for the church, for the building up of His church. The second lesson, not only that the Lord wants every member of His church to be equipped, but also the Lord wants His church to be built up. And I think it's one of the songs that we sang earlier. Oh, no, we read from Matthew. Imagine Jesus himself declares, not just to Peter, but to the rest of the disciples, "I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So we have the Lord Jesus assuring us that this is His work. And now, we are seeing, we are understanding that those of us who are equipped, you know, the Lord has given the opportunity, the privilege to partner with Him in accomplishing the many wonderful things that He wants to accomplish in and through His church. Faith Presbyterian CRC. Brothers and sisters, as Christ gives to the church, equip the believers for the work of ministry, and as all believers faithfully use their spiritual gifts in doing God's ministry, Paul declares that the body of Christ is being built up. The church is spiritually growing and developing according to God's design. You know, many churches today are concerned about quantitative growth, that they grow in number. Well, nothing really so evil about that desire, about that plan. Okay? But when you're so focused on that, and that you miss God's design for His church to grow qualitatively, I don't think that's in the Bible, but you know what I'm saying, right? A church wherein every believer is equipped or being equipped. Every believer is using his or her gift to serve others. Every believer is serving God. contributing to the building up of the church. And what happens when the church is being built up according to God's design or game plan? Look at verse 13. One, the church experiences unity in the faith. Now, this word faith is the same as the one used in verse 5. One faith. It's not actually the faith that you use when you hear the gospel and then you act in obedience and receive the Lord Jesus, you know, salvation. This particular faith refers to, this particular word refers to the body of teachings, Christian doctrines that Paul taught to the Ephesians, particularly in the first half of his letter to the Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's truth. And one of the problems in the church in Corinth, but they have disunity, division, many of them have started to listen to the lies, the other gospel. You know, let the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ bind you together as a church. A church that's being built up is actually showing unity in the faith. We read, we study, we learn the teachings from God's word, and we live them out for the glory of our God. Second, the church grows in the knowledge of the Son of God, which happens when people, when believers, know the truth, understand the truth, and live out the truth of God's word. And the church that's being built up according to God's plan displays spiritual maturity. Believers are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say that Paul is actually describing the community of believers when they're in heaven. I don't think so. Remember, verse 11, Christ's gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they were given to the church on earth. Okay? It's one thing for us to wish and hope to be built up as a church. You know, to experience unity in the faith and spiritual maturity. And it's another thing to work towards being a church that experiences unity and maturity. The Lord wants His people to faithfully fulfill their calling. That is to live holy and blameless lives. Verse 4, chapter 1 of Ephesians, and to make every effort to keep the unity of the body of Christ. As believers serve one another, become equipped by God's servants to do God's work, and be built up, experiencing unity in the faith and growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verses 14 through 16. Here Paul gives us a bit of a glimpse, picture, of what a church that's being built up actually look like, should look like. Let me read from the New Living Translation, huh? The church will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Two problems experienced by many Christians on this. One, they don't speak the truth. And second, when they do speak the truth, there's no love. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Again, the body metaphor being used here by Paul. You know, body, many parts, okay? But one body, and each part has a function, right? Each member gifted by God, this one spiritual gift that each member should use toward the good of the one body. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. I like that word special. Every work done for Jesus is special, huh? Even when you just stand up here and lead the song, "This is the day." That too is special. Or you do certain things that you believe many people do not see, do not recognize. But the Lord Jesus sees everything that you do for him, no matter how trivial or how small. Every work you do in the name of the Lord will be honored by the Lord, recognized and seen by your Lord. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Let me close by summarizing some of the lessons that we've learned. The Lord wants his church to know the truth about the Lord Jesus so that God's people can walk or live in a manner worthy of God's calling to be holy and blameless. People need to hear the truth so they will know how to obey God. The Lord wants his church to live the truth about the Son of God. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to actually practice that, live it out. The Lord wants his church to live the truth about the Son of God, to be equipped to do the work of service, and to be built up, experiencing and showing unity of the faith and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And don't forget, the Lord has given spiritual gifts for his people to faithfully use. The Lord also has given his church gifted pastors and other servant leaders to equip the believers for God's work toward the building up of God's church. My prayer for you, brothers and sisters, amid all the challenges you face each day in your life as a church community and as individuals, that you will desire and choose to love and serve one another and all the other people, not just in Guam, but outside of Guam. That you will choose and desire to serve God together, using those gifts that God himself entrusted to you according to the measure of his generosity. So don't feel bad if you saw this brother, you know, having many gifts and you can only name one that you have. Use that faithfully. It's not the amount of gifts that you have. It's how faithful you are in using whatever it is that God has entrusted you with. I pray also that you will enjoy, as a body of Christ, growing together. Growing more and more to be like the Lord Jesus Christ with your new pastor teacher, Pastor Frank. Christ's gift to you. receive Him as God's gift to you. We do this all for the glory and honor of the faithful giver of all the gifts that we have, all the resources that we have, the head of the church, the one who promised us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the one who calls all of us to live in a manner worthy of His calling, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is my prayer for this church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.